The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
Okay, so obviously we're in the middle of a pandemic, we're in the middle of quarantine, but yes, my mom just visited and, you know, we've been in quarantine around, I think the number is 100 days. I think that's the when people started, because Colin and I were trying to unpack, do you remember or can you, did you mark it? Like, what was the last thing you did before quarantine started?
Well, we started earlier, not intentionally, but our kids were sick.
Yeah, because your kids got sick.
And I don't know if they had, I used to feel nervous about saying like, maybe they had it, but maybe they did because Dash had his birthday party and there were 70 people at it. And they are like, he goes to a school where everybody's from everywhere on earth. And yeah. They might have had it because they had fevers for weeks. Then we did. And then we're going to do the antibody test to see.
Yeah.
But because I remember this, we went out and did our Valentine's Day dinner February 13th.
Yeah.
The kids got sick. And whatever the weekend was after that was the last time I went to a store or anything. So we've been, I am... basically, what's that Stephen King movie where she like
The Shining?
The Shining. The Shining is the real obvious choice there, Kristen. I went for the one where the crazy lady like keeps the guy tied to the bed and like
was it Misery?
Misery.
Is Britt the guy in your bed? Are you gonna hobble him or whatever? Where you like?
I feel like,
what's happening?
The crazy woman in that movie is the pandemic and me some days, depending on how crabby I am. But like, we feel like we are so tied here and it's been more than 100 days for us because
That happens because if you are, I mean, it really depends on what your comfort zone is. Also, we live in a city where there is a high occurrence of COVID. So we're not just playing the number. I mean, we are playing the numbers. We're looking at where these surges are and they're in our neighborhood. So we're being more careful. We choose to go out. We choose to wear masks. We choose to wear rubber gloves. We're sort of out and about more. Also, our neighborhood sort of lends itself to it because it's flat streets and you guys live in a mountain. So that makes it, I think, harder to like get out. Plus, we've talked about this. Your neighbor is going to speed down the street and kill me. That's what I know that's how I'm going to go down. I'm going to be so mad at my eulogy. They're going to say, Dale hit her.
Oh, yeah. Well, we did start because everybody has cabin fever. And I am like, these kids' brains and muscles are going to atrophy. I mean, we started this thing in the backyard where in order for Dash to do iPad, he has to earn it by doing loops and hoops, which means he has to do loops. He has to do loops up and down the stairs, like all the way around. And so I'll tell him, like, based on how much time he wants to spend on the iPad, I'm like, okay, I need 10 loops and 20 hoops. And he has to make 20 baskets because
That's great.
It keeps him, like, outside for a while.
That's the kind of stuff that we're dealing with, that our parents have absolutely no idea how hard that's been. So yes, during this pandemic, when we're trying to, like, modify stuff so we simply don't go insane, so you don't go literally cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, my mom, God bless her, at the end, we're about now, what are we, 100 days in? My mom was like, I've got to see my grandkids. I'm in good health. I just went and took a COVID test. I'm negative. I am getting on a plane to come see you. And at first I was nervous about it, but there's no stopping her. Literally, there's nothing that's going to get in the way of my mother seeing her grandchildren. And that includes science. That would include the Pope. That would include Jesus himself coming down in front of her and saying, this is a bad idea. She'd be like, well, I'm going to do it anyway, sir.
But I just read that the plane itself isn't what is the plane. Actually, they're cleaning them in a way that they never have. And they circulate the air. So you're not like sitting stewing in like germs, which is what I picture on a plane. That part's fine. It's the like airport bathroom, probably.
Well, what she told me, I was curious because I was like, what does it look like when you travel now? Because my sister traveled to Nebraska mid-quarantine and there were 4 people on her flight. It was so eerie. Wow. But my mom traveling, because she's, you know, she's 69. I don't want her to, I was nervous that, you know, if she were to be exposed to it, like what that would do to her and what it would do to us. And we were careful. But she said that the planes, the flight attendants, the staff were fantastic and that they sat every other seat. So that was very nice. She said that people wore masks. She said the place where people were not paying attention to the rules was in the airport terminals. Mm-hmm. And so she just, luckily for us, we were at a small airport. So she just beelined it out of there. But when she got here, it's this weird thing. Like, I hadn't seen her in about 5 or 6 months. It's the longest we've gone since I had kids, because prior to me having kids, she was like, there's really no reason for me to visit. So she, now I'm a validated human because I've given her the 2 things that are most important to her. And by 2, I mean my children. And by me as a far third, I mean, I'm a 4th or a 5th. Like, I think it goes my children, then it goes Colin, then it goes my dog Sky, then it goes me, and then it goes our new dog Daisy. I think that's the level of preference.
Can I tell you something? And I'm so scared you're going to be mad at me for it, but I
oh, no.
I laugh so hard. Yes, I understand where you are coming from with that. I did see your mother's Facebook post that was a Father's Day post for Dewey.
I know.
And she tagged you and Matthew. And then your sister commented, Mom, did you forget about me? That's amazing.
She wields her sword in the weirdest of ways, but it's almost like her subconscious is like literally the thing that she leads with, because you're like, oh my God, your judgment is so evident. You left me off a post where you tagged your children.
It made me laugh so hard. I'm banking on, if we're going to talk about our moms, I'm banking on the fact that she does not listen or pay attention to me.
Yeah. Terry's only going to find out about this podcast because one of her friends goes, oh, the whole episode is about you, Terry. And here's the thing. My mom will find it flattering even if I say something that isn't flattering.
Just that you brought her up.
The fact that she's a subject at all is going – that's the thing. She is so impervious to like criticism that she will just ignore what she wants to ignore and hear what she wants to hear. And that will be it.
That's a good
She won't internalize anything.
That's a good way to get through life, actually.
Is it?
I don't know. But same thing as my, I made a joke the other day with my husband because I was like, look, I'm not a Karen. I don't like Karens. I don't even like my Aunt Karen. And he was like, You can't say that in a video or on the podcast because that will be the one time they listen. I know. I'm joking though. Well, I love you, Aunt Karen. I really do. She makes
You know what? I feel quotes. Like Karens are getting a real sucky. I know a couple Karens that are decent. I think I refer to myself as less of a Karen and more of a Susan. You know, I'm like, I am high strung like a Karen, but I'm not racist or like, you know, unfair to people. But I am a strong controller of the peace in my neighborhood. I'm not on the Nextdoor app. We talked about that. But I will run a tight ship when I see like little fourth graders running around on bikes together being naughty.
You have to.
I know your parents.
That's just being a mom. That's being a responsible mother who's like, hey, you're not my child, but you're somebody's child. Let me step in and do some parenting.
Don't be an asshole. And if your parents aren't on board with what I'm saying, then I think they're assholes. And that's how it goes. Let me tell you what happened, and I think you'll appreciate this. So we're in the middle of a quarantine. We're in the middle of a pandemic. One thing you might not know is that Jen and I don't make any money off of Facebook videos. We make them, we shoot them, we put them up, but we opted to not have ads run at weird times. So we make no money off of the Facebook videos themselves. We make money off of our majority of our money might be from the tour or from a neat opportunity with a brand that lets us do a branded video. But those have all come to a screeching halt during this pandemic. So there isn't like a large cash flow coming in as there is that's happened to everybody. So my husband and I, we were just like, hey, man, we just have to live a little leaner. Like, we're not going on vacations right now anyway. Like, just everybody needs to be a little conscious of the old budget, something we have done our whole lives.
That's really smart. So you guys aren't staying up all night buying vintage bags from Italy and Japan? That's a better idea. We'll get back to that.
We'll get back to that. You're much happier than me. I'm telling you, that's what I should be doing.
It really
that's
is.
That's what I should be doing.
I'm purchasing joy. I am fucking purchasing joy, Kristen. And I know that's
and God
what
bless
it is.
You. It's here's what's weird. The second my mom left, I too purchased joy because I was like, it works for Jen. I need something.
It's momentary. I need some.
So my mom comes into town. Again, I would like to say this has happened to me before. My mom comes into town. We're in the thick of this really intense crisis where, you know, the kids have been cooped up. They haven't seen anybody. And my mom comes in and she's such a weirdo about stuff that she goes to serve the kids dinner. And my plate situation is pretty terrible because we have been in quarantine. I've literally shattered 4 glasses, 2 plates. Like I'm clumsy, especially like near my period. I just break shit.
And maybe it's on purpose, but that's a safe way to deal with your frustration.
Perhaps. I wish that were true. But let me tell you something, Jen. My mom comes into our house and she starts looking at my plates and my glassware and she can't let it go. So she's like, gosh, Kristen, you know what? You really need to get new plates. I think it's time. I think you're a grown up. You can afford new plates. I'm like, I haven't bought new plates, mom, because there's been other things on the horizon. I don't know, a disease that's killing people, like a pandemic, like being inside our house. Like people aren't coming over. I'm not entertaining. If I have a couple plastic plates and a couple mismatched glasses, who cares? You know who cares? My mother. Well, it is a sign of a bad person that my plates don't match.
No. That's what I was going to say is that I think if there weren't a pandemic, you wouldn't care because that's not your priority. Like you don't care. When I go to your house for dinner, it's the best time and I don't care what the plates are. Like it can be paper plates. Like it's not your thing.
But the thing is like I did want new plates. I just put it on the I took it off the list because I was like, hey, you know what? We're going to get through this. Shit's going to get broken. I'd rather put money towards fun pool toys. Like we're all kind of hunkering down right now. Like I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care what my kids think about my plates, but my mom would not let it go. And I thought, I need to find the only Crate and Barrel that's open during a pandemic.
No.
And I did. No, I did. Because my mother, if we would have ordered through Amazon, it would have taken 4 days at least. And I would have had to have heard about my fucking plates for the next 4 days.
So you had to curbside pick up new plates?
We curbside picked up new plates.
Okay. I'm upset about this for a couple of reasons. What color are they?
They're white. They're gorgeous. They look better. I feel better. Okay. She was right.
Because I have a set of blue Fiesta wear that I didn't even realize I had that will match your kitchen.
That was too late, Jen. You could have really, I could have literally curbside picked up those before my mother came into town and preempted it. But then she would have found something else because that's her thing. It's a weird thing that she does. And she did this when I was in the thick of having a toddler and an infant. She came to the house and I mean, the house was a complete disaster because that's when you have like a bouncy and a stroller and a double stroller and a single stroller and you've got toys everywhere. And I'm like, Mom, I just need your help. And she's like, God, your ottoman is disgusting. You know, what are people going to think when they come over and see your ottoman? I'm like, I don't know. What are they going to see when they see that there's literal shit on the wall? Like, I think maybe they're going to, they're just going to not care that my ottoman sucks, which I'm fully aware that my ottoman is disgusting.
You know what? You might not want to eat off that ottoman, but you know what? You could. And it wouldn't be
you
a
can't.
Big deal.
No, you can't. You, well, no,
it
you
would
get
be
staff.
Clean, but it would be like... It's an ottoman. It's for your feet, Kristen. Who cares? It's for your feet. I know it's her
deal. Well, I dumpster dove for it in the rain, and I will guarantee you that it was disgusting when I got it. But it was an ottoman nonetheless. And then the fact that she hated it made me want to keep it longer. So here's the new thing that she – and I do it on purpose because it drives her insane – is I – try as hard as I can not to match anything that I'm wearing because she looked at me day four. Here's the thing. My mother is super polite day one through three. She's so nice and sweet and she always is great with the kids. You know that. She's like, that's her sweet spot is with my kids. So she can be as critical to me as she wants, but with my kids, she's like a glowing like disco ball. And that's all I cared about because my kids needed to see her. But then like day one through three, she's really nice to me. But day four, the notes start coming. And I always know when she's going to start one because she puts her fingers together and like moves them back and forth. And she starts like moving up and down on her toes. And she's always like, I have a suggestion. I know how you get. I just want to make a suggestion. And that's when I know the notes are coming. Yeah. And it could be anything from, you know, when I make vegetables, the kids love to eat them. I'm like, they're covered in Velveeta.
Yeah.
I would eat a shoe covered in Velveeta.
It's basically candy. That's basically
it's candy.
Candy
vegetables.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
Well, what don't you think it's though, like it's sort of a generational thing where like, because our moms are sort of like the way they were taught, like here's the equation for happiness. You're going to make sure everything looks like it should. And I think our generation, and I'm not saying we're right. I'm not saying that, but it's the
I'm saying we're right.
It's the philosophy I believe in a little bit more. It doesn't necessarily have to like look perfect to be joyful and happy and like a good home for your kids to live in. But my mom is very like that. Like she likes everything. Like my mom is like, okay, I bought a new shirt. I need to get matching pants, socks, and shoes. Like everything has to be exact. Yeah. And even like my my mother-in-law, my sorry about the pause. I just didn't know what exactly to call her because she's not my husband's mom, but she's his dad's wife. Is very she's very proper. Like she's old Connecticut, East Coast. Like she's very proper. And I remember her saying to my nephew when he was 12. He is now, you know, 18, 19. Braden, you're cutting the brie wrong because he was taking too much of the cheese and not enough of the wax, which in my, he's very intelligent, just smart. You just want more of that cheese. Who wants to eat the rind? You do it to be polite at a party, but you don't want to.
You're cutting. Has there ever been a whiter, more privileged thing ever said in the history of?
Never.
Literally, like, you're cutting the brie wrong, as though that is in some weird world. That's like a scathing insult. And I would cut the brie wrong. I'd cut the brie wrong. And I didn't have cheese knives until you bought them for me. I get it wrong.
It's not a priority. It just isn't. You know what? Well, here's a whiter, more privileged thing to say. Guess what I'm doing this afternoon? I'm ironing my dividend statements. I'm scalloping the edges with craft scissors. That's what I'm doing.
Gross.
But nothing.
You know, but she's so funny because I think she wishes she had a daughter like you because you guys delight in your homes. And like, it's not that I don't enjoy doing it. I get like analysis paralysis straight up. But my mom really likes putting together her home, and she knows that you like doing stuff with your home. So she said, and I met on 5 different occasions, she was like, I'm just more like Jen. We, you know, we like to take care of our homes. I like girly stuff. I love that. And I go, hey, but she goes, my mom's like, you know what? I'm like Jen. I'm a girly girl. I like taking care of my home. And I go, well, I do too. And she goes, oh, no, you don't. You'd use camping equipment if you could. And then I was like, that's what Jen and Britt bought me for my wedding.
Yeah.
was camping equipment and authentic, like they actually look like this, like red tin cups and plates. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Because that's rustic and cool as shit. And I like that stuff. But she is like that. She's old generation. They loved like having like China. I don't want China. I don't want another thing. That's not my deal. Like I'm actually kind of a minimalist, I think, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I do like that kind of stuff. And I'm going to say something even wider than ironing your dividend statements is that I have a hand-painted antique vase from Sweden that my grandmother...
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's missing. It's missing. And I think it got broken because we left the house on Tuesday and then had somebody come in to clean because I've been cleaning. I've been cleaning for...
Yeah, you've been doing it all, girl.
And so somebody came in to clean and I was like, that's weird. What used to be there? I don't remember that plant being there. And there used to be this like that because my grandmother was a painter and painted furniture. That's what they used to do. You'd get like an old beat up furniture and like paint it. And that's what she did.
Yeah, like you do. It's a wonderful thing. And by the way, those are wonderful heirlooms that you get. I don't have heirlooms. I have one of my great grandma Oons who came over on the boat from Holland and nobody wanted her in her house because they were too scared of her. And I'm convinced that's going to be the thing that makes me $1 million.
I do.
They've all kicked her down the road to me and I'm never giving her away and I'm going to make $1 million.
I think you put her up on first dibs and see what kind of interest you get. You have no idea what it's. So, but if she could have been like a Russian princess or something, like, you don't
That's
know.
That's the only princess she would be. Literally, we had people over before the quarantine went into full blast. And somebody goes, well, who's this guy? I was like, that's my kin. It explains my chin. and it explains my disposition. She was a hefty, thick woman who mothered 11 children with a husband half her size. So
smart. But you know, back in those days, that was just smart.
But you have heirlooms and your mom's into antiques and my mom is too. I just think it's hilarious that my mom comes into town and is like, let's fix your plate situation while there's a pandemic.
Well,
because that's the real tragedy here. That's the real crisis, is that your plate situation is god awful.
No, Krista. Okay. This could be years of counseling, like, kicking in right now. I'm not sure. But I don't want you to take what she's saying as judgment. And I don't want you to like, she's trying to help. Let me explain myself. Because
have you met my mother?
Do you remember, like, I know that you have to remember this. Like, before I met my husband and I switched jobs, I've never been so broke in my life. Like, I was like, well, I'm just going to drive my car to the bank and leave it there because I can't pay my bills. Like, it was like, and then I got a new job and everything was fine. But it was like, basically, what happened back then? It was like, oh, it was the recession. And
you were transitioning jobs. You didn't get paid right away.
Oh, God.
But it was a tough time. That was a tough time. That was a hard time for a lot of people.
And it's like hard. Yeah, that's when like the housing, all that stuff went down. And like, it was very hard for me to tell my parents, who, when my dad was alive, I could have called him at any point and his first question would be like, you know, I'm not good at talking to you. I'm not sure I like you, but do you need money? And I told my dad like how broke I was. And he was like, you're going to figure this one out on your own. And I was like,
oh, they do that. It sucks.
Okay. And so I remember telling my mom, I wasn't asking her for money. I just was telling her like, here's what my life is like right now. And she sent me a place set for 12. She sent me the dishes, the drinkware, and the plateware. And I was like, I can't afford ramen noodles for 12 people. I don't know what you expect me to do with these place settings. But it was her, she didn't know what to do. And that was what felt
give
like helping
you
to
the
her.
Cash.
I know.
My mom does that too. When I first
I'm sure she thought
LA,
it would all go up my nose, Kristen. She doesn't know what my life's like in crazy old Los Angeles.
Oh yeah, you mean your lifestyle? Quote, you guys got to put air quotes up and you got to have a real nasally judgmental tone and you got to call what Jen and I have is a lifestyle.
It's a different
I don't
lifestyle
know.
In Los Angeles.
I don't know what your lifestyle is like, but you know where we're from, we like to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now I know you guys do it differently out there. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then my mom will say like blanket statements like, I know that money I know money doesn't matter to you. And I'm like, on what planet are you from? I drive an 11-year-old car. I'm the most frugal person you'll ever meet.
You are. Money, you are. You're just smart.
She's such a weirdo about it. She's so funny. And like I remember when I first moved to LA, I was broke as a joke. I'd saved $2,000. And in LA, that is basically your first 2 weeks. That's not an apartment. That's survival. And my mom was like, here you go. We're going to give you a real shitty car and a really nice organizer that was one of those thick leather ones that had like my initials on it that like I couldn't afford the inserts.
The Franklin Covey. The planning system.
The leather with the deal. And I had one business card in the middle of like 40 plastic things of business cards. And I was like, Terry, I know this thing was $150. Can you return it and give me the sweet cash money that it took to pay for this?
I know.
She was like, no.
I think it's like, or it's like what you know, and it's like how you make your life look like it feels right. Like here's the thing that, like Kristen was saying, when did you say it? The other day, was it today, where you told me that like, for your OCD, you need to have like what you have to have a system.
I have to have I like to feel what it feels like. Like before we do a show, we say a prayer. I have this like thing that I hold in my hand. I listen to the same song so that I have like kind of a ritual because it like calms me down. And so like as we learn how to do this podcasting. I have this system where I have like paper out in front of me and my coffee and my water and maybe a cocktail. And then I have a system because it soothes me.
Yeah.
It soothes me. When my mom comes into town, I look like I'm like trying to steal second. I'm like touching door jams. I'm like, I guess she like sends me into like high alert.
Yeah. Yeah. She sets off your OCD. And that's like, systems make my OCD sometimes go crazy because then I'm like fixated on how I'm going to mess it up and like not do it right or like forget it. And then I can't think about anything but trying to like do the thing right. But I don't think either one of those things are like wrong or better. It's just like your coping mechanism of it. Now, that is not to say that moms don't say really shitty things to their daughters because they 1,000% do. And if you'd like me to read the longest text you've ever seen in your life, I can do that. But we don't have enough time.
That's a whole nother deep dive. We need a third person on that call just to unpack all the shit that happens when moms are mad at you. And, you know, they're designed. I think it's by design. Like, I don't know anybody that has a mom that isn't a little bit critical of them. And it's in an effort to help. But I also think it's in an effort to be like, here's this thing that will make you better. That's what I feel like it is sometimes, is like, these plates will make you better. And she's right. I feel better having nice plates. Did she need to bring it up during her visit during a pandemic? No. And then what happened when I bought the plates? She moved on to my spoon game. She thinks my spoon game isn't very good. I'm supposed to have three different kinds of spoons. I'm like, I don't want all that shit. I don't want all that stuff. Like, I don't want it.
Because you need like this small spoon, soup spoon, serving spoon, or where's the third?
And at one point she goes, well, I guess if you need it, you can just ask Jen. I'm sure she has all
I do have an
stuff.
Extra set. Narrow it down. What do you need? Because I've got it.
No, I don't want any of it. I don't want any of it.
You want to get your own?
I don't even want to get my own. I don't understand a soup game. I've got a small spoon and a big spoon, and I don't want to learn one more thing. And we're in a pandemic. And that's the other thing. I don't know if you think this or you feel this too, but like once we started getting into quarantine and it became very real and like all the fun jokes started to kind of go to the side, you start going, oh, we need to survive here and I need to lighten up on some of my already existing rules. So I was like, all right, bedtimes are going to be a little looser.
Same.
We're going to be outside more and on Zooms less. We're going to do homeschool the best way we can, or remote learning. Don't get mad at me. Like we're in a very different situation. And I think all of us are like, okay, how is this impacting my kids? I don't want them to suffer during this time. It's a really weird time. And so you're loose on a lot of other things that before you were very, very strict about. And my mom comes in during the very loose time and she's like, well, this is like bedlam. This is a this is a disaster. Like the kids are like, Grandma, we never wear swimming suits when we swim. We just go naked. And my mom's like, oh, well, okay, well, look at that. And I'm like, we didn't before, but we do now because they think it's hilarious. And if it gives them joy for a minute, wait till I jump in naked. My Ring app is going to be just nothing but like blurs.
Well, your husband will be quite happy. All the alerts go to his email address, so...
We all know that he did that pre-quarantine. We were on.
Yep.
When my husband
was like, oh my God. I wish you would have accidentally posted that to Facebook or something. Yeah, I mean,
the thing about when my husband takes off his clothes, especially when he doesn't know what somebody's watching, and he puts, and it's on the Ring app, it's incredible how men just do that thing where they grab their waistband and then they just lean over to their feet and it like drops down so fast. Whereas women like shimmy down and pull a foot out and pull a foot down. My husband was like full butt, like whoosh, so confident. Fast. And I was like, oh God, Jen, I didn't know if you were looking over my shoulder on my phone. It was a full camera angle into his beehole.
I didn't see it.
I think my mom did find it to take a video of it herself. Cause she's,
but I, so I wonder if maybe you got your like, your system like organization thing from her. Cause like maybe she like went into tizzy mode because
she's always in tizzy mode.
Yeah. Does she have a lot of coffee her, or
Yes. She drinks 70, like your mom. They are from the generation of caffeine no longer works. Like my mother will have a cup of coffee at 7 at night. Your mom had a cup of coffee when we were watching a movie at 11.
She'll put on a pot at 10 o'clock at night. And that's not a joke or an exaggeration. She'll be like, would you drink some coffee if I put some on? And I'm like, shit, no. She's like, I'll finish it myself. I was just asking to be polite. Like, she can't go to sleep without coffee. It's like circled back around to being a sedative in her life. So, but my mom, I think you and my mom, let me say this in a way that isn't offensive. There are things that you and my mom relate to so well. Like, you guys could like, eat snacks, watch old movies, like romance movies, till the cows come home. Like, and I can't.
I remember we were in your mom's living room and she'd made it so cozy when we were watching old movies and I was like on the couch and you were at the end of the couch sitting up looking at your phone. And there was a part of me that was like, well, she's not going to watch the movie. She needs to get off the couch so my feet are more comfortable. I was like, Barb and I are having a perfectly nice time. If Jen's just going to be on her phone, why is she doing this at all?
I know. It's so weird, too, because my brother and I do the exact same thing. We're like, we're going to sit here and like read the news or check our email or whatever. And she's like, I wish you would watch this submarine movie. It's very obscure and it's horribly made and it doesn't even look real. But let's take 2 hours of our lives. We never see each other, but let's just watch a movie together and share space.
I told you when I slept, I looked on my sleep app and it is, I thought I like flatlined when I spent the night at your mom's house. She had 40 quilts on me. I don't know if I just stopped breathing, but I've never slept better. Literally, I've never slept where I didn't have a single mark on my sleep app where it shows like you turn over. It was like I was in a casket. I was so grateful for that sleep. And then her house smells like some yummy casserole all the time. You go in and
it
she's
always
like, even if
good.
She's mad at you, she's like chicken pot pie.
Shepherd's pie. Oh.
Something like that. She's like, I made a chicken pot pie. It's in the warmer. And I was like, God, my mouth is salivating. I have like foam coming out of my mouth.
Yeah. And she like, she's ready. She's dressed for comfort.
Oh.
Britt always is like, she is like a Jedi on the ice planet Hoth all the time. Like she has her AC all the way up. So it's super cold in there. But then she gets cozied into those like snuggly, like, but you know what? I forgot to tell you this. She lost like 20 or 25 pounds doing Weight Watchers. And basically she said kind of the only thing that she quit, ended up having to like quit doing was snacking at night. But because
that's my thing, Jiminy.
Well, she would be like, see, hey, with our coffee, we should have a delicious brand new bag of Lay's that I'm about to open and then some Cinnamon Bears candy. Like it's pure hedonism. Amazing. It's delightful. But it's like
wonderful.
It's not good for, you know.
See, my mom takes all the joy out of desserts and you think you're having a good time and you're like, oh, okay, we're splurging. And then she goes, you know, I never do this. And then she's like, oh, God, like a piece of cake. And she literally says that before every time she takes a bite.
Yeah.
You know, I never do this. And then she always says the same thing when she's leaving. God, I'm going to have to walk so many miles when I get home because every time I come here, I just feel like I gain a lot of weight. Mm. And I'm like, I get it, Mom. I get it. And then she's like, hey, Kristen, did you know that there's this really fun YouTube video that you can just play in on your Alexa or on your TV and you can march in place and walk 2.5 miles?
It's interesting.
You know how enraged I get that my mom, first of all, her idea of a workout for me is that I would march in place in my kitchen.
What do you say to her, though?
Actual fuck.
What do you say to her when she says that?
I don't get into it because it becomes a thing. Because I go, are you saying that I need to lose weight? No, Kristen, God, every time I talk to you, you're so defensive. I should be able to talk to you about this stuff. I'm like, but if you didn't think I needed to lose weight, you wouldn't tell me to make laps around my goddamn kitchen table. And you know what? I'm sorry that I'm going to eat this entire piece of lasagna. I need comfort food right now because all you're doing is weighing down on my good time.
Yeah.
So like, it's a weird, she's got a weird, look, I don't know. I think they just give notes. Like, they're just supposed to make us, they're supposed to torture us.
I do think it's interesting, though, that, like, if your mom says something that hurts your feelings, you sort of, like, are so polite to her about it, which is, like, for our personalities, is
weird.
Is weird because my mom, like, if she even has a twinkle in her eye, like, she's going to say, like, that's a lot of salad dressing. Like, I go like F5 tornado on her. I'm like, let's bring up shit from a long time ago if you are going to criticize something that I do. And I don't, it's just like the dynamics that we have worked out are so different with our moms.
You know why? It's me. It's because I don't like to fight. I don't want there to be bad blood because I always think, like, if something happened and those were my last words, I would be devastated. And also that, like, I just want her to like me and love me at this time when things are so hard and scary and my kids are, you know, feeling all of this weirdness because of the pandemic, that, like, I'll just sort of take shots to the chin. And I know she doesn't mean it, and they never mean it. The moms, they never mean it in a mean way, but it's been a repetitive note since, you know, especially about the weight stuff for a long time. And I think I don't want to get into it. I don't want to fight with her because she's better at it than me. And I don't want to, like, get iced or,
mom and I are having a stay awaycation right now, or we do this occasionally and we send a series of, stilted texts to one another and then just all, correspondence shuts down. And but you know what? I do expect her to know that I love her. I don't care. Like, if one of us goes out, God forbid, gets hit by a bus, that bitch better know that nobody, both of us better know that nobody's been in your bunker more, you know?
Right.
Just
because
we're grown adults with different opinions. And we, like, I think moms have this issue of, like, not being able to see with their daughters because in so many ways you're so similar. Like, where you end as a human and where this other human begins. And I'm trying so hard to not do that with Delilah because I don't want to put my stuff on her. I don't like my mom's stuff on me. I don't want my stuff on her, you know?
I sort of don't know that I believe that we can outsmart that. I think
we're doomed to repeat history.
I think we're doomed to repeat history, but we can sort of be aware of ourselves. And that's one thing that I do think, and I get, like, really ballsy when it comes to Gen Xers, because I think that Gen Xers are sort of like the best generation. I think we're the ones that sort of, like, we worked really hard. Like, you're going to wear Chuck Taylors if you want to. You're going to have messy hair if you want to. You're going to listen to the Ramones. Like, you don't give a shit. Like, Gen Xers are kind of partiers to the core. So I hope that from that, the way we treat our daughters is differently but they're still for me right now, Eleanor is 7 and I think she's the most glorious creature ever. And, like, I think there's nothing she can do or wear or say that I'm not, like, kind of amused by. Now, when she's 14 and if she's wearing pants that show her crack, or she is, like, has dirty fingernails or is being a smart mouth, I'm going to come down on her. But I'm going to do that because I'm her parent, and I just hope – and she's going to translate it as mom's being critical because we get the raw end of the stick. And my mom's getting the raw end of the stick and she doesn't have a podcast. She's going to start a podcast called Fuck Her.
Yeah. No, I'm very conscious of that I have a platform. And that's – I'm always nervous to talk about anybody because, like – you got to be able to own your part of it, you know, and like, it's not like any relationship where there's an issue, there's 50-50.
Hey, listen, my mom, she may not have a podcast, but she has 13 siblings. And so there's a phone tree that would put this podcast to shame.
I'm telling
so
you. I've been put on blast.
The subject.
Literally by everyone that matters in my life. I'm sure of that.
100%. And it goes faster than this podcast can stream. So I knew I knew that I had upset my mom about something. I knew the second we got off the phone, within four steps, I was going to get some sort of email or call or something. And like when we go to reunions, I hear all sorts of shit about things that I've done. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that was I didn't know that was part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, she told you about the ottoman, did she? Okay.
Well, our daughters are perfect. They are currently perfect human beings. Like,
even though Delilah bit Jen's arm like a rabid animal, and they're perfect.
You know what I told her after she did it? I said, you can only do that if somebody's trying to hurt you.
Yeah, like the thing you told him about.
Biting fingers.
When someone's trying to steal you, you can, if you can bite through a carrot, you can bite through a finger. That upset me. I think that I went to sleep with that in my brain. Like, that's the most disgusting and valid and wonderful useful and terrifying
tidbit.
Useful bit of tidbit, because that's Jen Smedley parenting right there.
That is.
I'm going to give it to
you. You can bite through a carrot. You can bite through a finger. Go for the eyes.
I'm going to tell you. Like, I'm going to tell you exactly how to clean your vagina, and I'm going to tell you how to ward off a criminal, and I'm going to tell you what luminol
is. It's probably not going to happen that you experience a great white, but if you do, you go for those mother effing eyes. You stick your hands all the way in those gills till you feel a heartbeat and stop it. Like, you just got to be ready, you guys. You've got to be ready. Our daughters are perfect. However, like when Delilah bit me, or when she does something that, you know, I'm just a parent and it's my job to tell her not to do it. I try to explain to her why in such concrete terms, where I say to Dash when he wants to say, we're kind of conservative about what words they're allowed to say. Like we had a deep conversation about whether or not he could say the word fart, because everybody at his school does. And I say to him about certain words, I think you sound common. I think you sound like you lack intelligence or creativity, and you're just saying it.
And then
sound
he's
like,
but mom, I know how to cut the brie.
Yeah.
I know how to appropriately cut brie.
Common's like such an – well, that's the third asshole thing I've said, white privilege kind of. But you know what I mean?
I do, and you're like, act to the height of your intelligence. Don't be – put yourself in a higher position as a kid, as a middle schooler, as a high schooler. Like, be better than you think you can be. That should be how we all operate.
Yeah, because I
think, like, that's fair.
You and I will, like, when we're talking, we'll get crude. We'll say words, whatever we want to. But I'm not going into the bank asking for a loan, F this, F that, or whatever.
Right.
Like, there's something to it, you know? And I don't mean they do think the F word is fart, by the way.
Mine do not.
And you know what
Mine
they think the S word is?
Not.
They think the S word.
Shit. Shoot.
Stupid.
Oh, yeah.
And that the D word is dumb.
We during quarantine, we've had to explore many the etymology of certain words, because like we watched Stand By Me, and as we were watching it, I was like, the language in this movie is filthy, but the story is so good. But the story was a little lost on Finn, so then he just was like, hey, why do they keep saying the word pussy? And I was like, it's a derogatory. You know what? Just don't ever say it. Don't ever say it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, do you promise me? Don't you ever say it? Because if I find out that Charlie's parents heard you say that word, they won't be our friends anymore.
Yeah, I think
that's
it. Like, I do. I think when you explain stuff like that to a kid, it makes sense. Like I'm not doing it so you don't have fun. I'm doing it to like protect you. You know, like.
Yeah, but they also think you're a giant hoover of fun. You're the biggest fun sucker. That's what my kids right now, Finn, I have never, it hurts my feelings, and it also does not bother me in the least, because I know I'm doing the right thing. When I say his name, I have become so, it's like I have this like auto response. I'm like, Finn. And then I see his eye roll. His eyes roll like, oh God, she's coming at me again. He has nothing but insolence right now for me. And he knows that if I have that tone, I'm either mad at him or I'm going to make him do a chore. Because chores make you better. Chores make you better. It gives you something to do. He gets a little bit of allowance. So it's so funny as we sit here and somewhat have notes on our own mothers. I wonder, like, what notes are they going to have about me? Oh, that during the pandemic, I made them I baked them cookies and we watched movies. And yes, I screamed a lot, but you know what? It was a really hard time.
I honestly, as you say that about Finn, with the insolence, I would like that to shake things up a little bit in our house, because whenever I say Dash's name, he looks at me as though I'm about to hit him with a stick or something. Like, I'm like, don't make, like, if somebody were here and you made that face when I say your name, they would call CPS, because it's, his fear is that I'm going to tell him, like, you have to get off the iPad. You have to stop doing what you're doing.
That's really funny.
It's
mine literally is like a cartoon of like his brow gets low and he's like, ugh, and then it's this. Ugh, come on, Mom. Why? And I'm like, nothing could I will never give you what you want because you act like a brat.
Absolutely.
Ever, never, ever. I might have even been thinking, oh, I'm not going to make him do that. But if he does that whiny thing, then it's 100% happening. And I'm probably going to make him do it again the next day.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I don't want to have a kid that can't, that is going to be inconvenienced by being a teammate in a family. Don't get me started. But man, I sound just like my mother.
Oh, no, sorry. I know. We have these same conversations. And I think it's worse because we're on summer break during a pandemic. You can't go anywhere, which yeah, I was actually thinking it almost mirrors my summers growing up as a child, because we really didn't go out that, like, you didn't go places.
Well, in the Midwest, you didn't go. You either went camping with your family, but you didn't go to like fancy sleepaway camps. There weren't even like actual camps. You know how like locally there's like, you can go to a sports camp or
nothing
or
like
climbing
that.
Wall no. camp or, and all it is $400 a week with a really failed lunch and a drive up and pick off, you know, drive up, drop them off, pick up thing. And that's worth the money to me.
Yes.
We can't even do that. So we got to get real creative this summer. Oh man, I'd be so sick of me if I was my kids, because I'm sick of them too. That's, it's fair.
I'm going to sit in a very unflattering pose right now with my hand. This is not heartburn. This is me just like at my wit's end. Is that like they can't go play at somebody's house. So Dash wants to play online, like Messenger Kids.
Games. Always.
Games with kids. And I'm like, and I say to him, as I just told you, I explain the science and my intention behind doing it. I say, if you are on the iPad all day long, your frontal lobe starts becoming more aggressive and you shut down. You're unable to process. Your attention span decreases. And not on my watch. Not on my watch. He gets it though. He's like, okay, I don't want to have that happen. Yeah, I don't want to. But
I wouldn't want to hear that either, Jen. I got to tell you, like, if I were Dashiell, I'd be like, oh God, she's going to come at with me with the frontal lobe stuff.
Yeah, that's why he looks so sad all the time. He's like, oh God, my brain is like,
no, he's like, oh, she's gonna come, it's more sciencey stuff, she did it, you know, because whenever you interrupt them and they want to go back to their game, they're only giving you eye contact, because they know if they don't have eye contact with you, you're going to take it away. So they're just like hard staring you with zero going on behind there. They're literally like, there's a ticker going across the top that's like, when will she stop talking so I can go back to my game? When will she stop talking so I can go have some more fun?
I had a conversation with Dash 2 days ago that our moms never would have had with us. And I don't know if it's good or bad parenting, but because he's so obsessed with playing games on the iPad with his friends, and I don't want to take it away because we're trying to get work done. It helps us in a way.
Yeah. And it's their only means of entertainment right now. I get
only
my mom
thing.
Did that too, like judging the video. Like, gosh, they really have been on their screens a lot. Meanwhile, my mom plays Words with Friends in 30 seconds if you're not entertaining her with your conversation.
Exactly. That's what my husband was like, well, we're obviously not setting a great example either. But this is the thing. With Dash, he was doing... I go, this is what my day feels like. You ask if you can use the iPad, and I say, sure, for 30 minutes. Then I say, it's time to get off. And then for 30 minutes, you give me a play-by-play on what exactly you did for the 30 minutes prior. Like, that's all that you talk to me about. Then you get really quiet because you're about to ask me if you can do the iPad again. And I go, you know what I feel like? Just this conduit to get you to the iPad. So that means you don't respect me, and it sometimes makes you feel like you don't love me. Because
oh my
all
God,
I am,
I feel,
is this way to get
to
the iPad.
I'm never touching the iPad again.
He felt bad about it, but I honestly, it was he would walk up to me and I'd be like, oh, good. He wants a hug. He wants, I mean, we're talking like 2 weeks of this. No, I'd be like, oh, he'd like to tell me about the space book that he just read. Cause he's, you know, I'm making him do other shit in the meantime, but I'm thinking like
about it.
He's going to have a conversation. I'd have been happy if he would have asked me for lunch, but he comes up and he goes, I want to ask you something, but I'm scared. And I go, you're about to ask me if you can have that iPad after I told you 10 minutes and 49 seconds ago to get off of it. Like, it feels abusive almost, the amount that he's badgering me about this iPad. So
I know, girl, it's the way of our life right now. But you know what?
I'm here for movies.
As we sit here and we're talking about our moms, I do have to circle back and just say, just because there are so many wonderful things about our moms and moms in general and grandmas in particular, because
well, that's polite.
They come in and they're the shiny object. And my mom is a good time. Like, there's no one that's better at having a vodka tonic than my mom. Like, you watch Top Gun with that woman, I'll tell you, well, this is a creepy story, but also funny. and we're in quarantine. Finn asks, can we watch Top Gun? And I go, well, that's weird. How did you hear about Top Gun? Well, grandma was talking about it. And I said, I'm sure she was talking about Top Gun. And I thought to myself, well, there's not much in Top Gun that's bad, except there's one love scene that I don't want to have to explain. So we got on the couch.
There's a
the
lot
couch
of
and it was,
real douchey behavior that,
yeah, you know, fine. But it's among boys. Like, they're not at women. It's fine. And the woman is, the protagonist is a high-ranking officer. So
great
I'm into
hair.
That.
Yeah.
So I have my mom to my left and I have my kids to my right. And we're watching Top Gun and we get to the sexy part and I fast forward it and I heard 3 groans. My mom was like, yeah. And then the kids are like, mom. And then my mom was like, Kristen. I'm like, I'm okay not to have this experience with all of us together. But, you know, that's where she's a hoot. She's a good time. And when she comes to our shows and when she's with the kids, we sewed while she was here, which was really great. And having her here, I felt – I think I also felt a lot of awareness that, like, I'm really lucky that she's still here and that this time is really hard and that we haven't had any babysitters or any other people in our house. So, like – just to have her be different. Like, I was like, give me the notes. I'm happy to hear about my shitty plates. I just need somebody else's voice that isn't like my husband or my 2 kids. Like, that made it great. So I was very grateful to have her. And I'm thankful I got new plates. And my ottoman is fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all going to be okay.
A little of that's like price of admission. You know, like, there's every person in your life, every single person has their, like, negatives and their positives, you know. It's just, you just have to,
what the hell are you talking about? What's my price of admission?
You make fun of my coffee. That's the only thing.
Oh god. Oh, I make fun of a lot more than that.
Oh really?
Well, of course, but I do it in front of you, like,
yeah. That's the only one though that feels like
the TSA is pretty awesome. Like, you always get so mad at when we go through TSA that they pull your luggage bag of fake jewelry and you're like, how dare they?
Well, why do they have an X-ray machine if they're not going to use it and decipher it correctly? My husband did this to me. I used to drink normal coffee. And my husband makes me basically a milkshake every morning. And
it's not coffee. I don't know why you call it coffee. I don't know why you think you could get a pep from that. This is my coffee. It's literally like, if I showed it, it's black in color. It's coffee.
But you
yours
also
literally,
like,
if you
like
poured
a
it, it looks like pancake mix.
You do like a little, you like some pizzazz added, like
once in a while, but then I'm just going to have a Bailey's and that coffee, well, I'm not gonna mess,
you know what,
up.
I do that. I just I would do that, but I don't want the judgment. But speaking of, I do want to drink right now.
I do too. I am not good at tone. That's my issue. And ironically, that's what my mother says about me too. And ironically, her tone could use some polish. So she'll say tone of voice and choice of words. And I'm like, Terry, that's really good coming from you. Like, I'm in the middle of like an argument with my kids trying to get them to do something. And she'll be on the sidelines with like tapping her fingers together. Like, I'm just observing here, but
wrong
I'm just
time
to say
wrong time, Terry.
I'm like, Terry, I don't need your words, and I don't need your help right now. I need a minute. And then she gets all like pearl clutchy, like, well, you know, I am just here to help. You were saying that you remembered something from about our moms that was.
Well, yes. When I talk to my mom and I go nuclear on her because I feel like she's being judgy or something, she has to know I love her. Like, maybe for like your husband or for me or for another friend, you're like, I'm going to put less edges on this because you don't have to love me. Like, we're not always going to be related. You know what I mean? Like, there's a different like mindset to that. Eventually we'll have 40 years together where you're like, she can hate me. I don't care. I know better than her, you know, but like you can do that with your sister. And I feel like I can do that with my mom.
I feel like my mom can do that with me.
But you can't do it back.
I just don't. I think it's also because I'm the oldest and I also respect, like, I will fire back if I get pushed to the point where there are certain things that I don't let her cross a line. And those are unwavering and are something that I immediately react to.
Yeah.
Like I don't like, when she talks about herself in a negative way when it comes to the way she looks or weight. Because in our house, we use words like healthy. We use words like strong.
Yeah.
We use words like we try to have a positive relationship with food instead of, you know, my husband enjoys the culinary arts, not as the artist, but more as the purchaser of the arts. And so the connoisseur of the arts, if you will. I don't want my kids to hear words like fat and or judgments about herself. She says, oh God, I'm so fat today. And I really get upset about that because then I think it happens like when you said that you didn't know, like when somebody brought something up to you, they criticized themselves and then you were like, oh, wait, but I have that, but I didn't worry about it before. But now that I've heard the criticism, now I'm aware of it. Now I have this other thing to worry about. I don't want those words around my kids.
Exactly.
Because I think they stick with you and
yeah.
The world is a hard place. And so in our house, those are things I don't mess with. So when she does say things about food or about the way she looks, if it's somehow a directional, like a shot across the bow with a ricochet towards me, I will say, we don't talk about that in this house.
Yeah, that's good.
You can't say those things.
Reality is
I just don't tolerate it.
Your kids, that's good. That's a really good hard line to have because your kids are going to get messages that make them feel bad. You don't want it to come from your house. Like you got to control the controllables. And it is, I do think, you know, that movie Mothman Prophecy, where it's like the moths noticed you noticing them. Like there's no relationship with anything that's negative until you start to pay attention to it. Like I thought I was perfect until I realized girls around me were concerned with their weight or what their bodies looked like. And then
I
was like,
I don't want that.
Oh my God, I got to worry about that now too. And then I did like times one zillion. Like
and that is something we've talked about in the book. It means a lot to both of us. Like with having this wonderful and totally extraordinary experience with my mom so hard, I think I realized how badly I talked to myself. And I talked about it in the book where I said something really mean to myself. And I saw Eleanor in a minute sort of translate that to somehow the transmission was this thing I said about myself, her feelings, because she thinks I'm beautiful. And then it kind of circled back to her. And I was like, I don't know why that is. It was so not, I would never direct it at her, but she's going to transfer that. Yeah. So I was like, here it is. These are the words you're allowed to say. And I've really done a good job because it matters to me to be careful about how I talk about myself. And also, I think that's the power we get to do now. We get to change the dialogue about many things. But one of them is about how we look at ourselves. And it has helped me so much to be a little bit more forgiving with myself, which I did not do up until 3 years ago.
Well, because what you say, what you talk about, and the way that you say it, which is one of the things that I over-explain to my kids. Like, just as siblings, Dash will like scream at Delilah about just being in his airspace, you know? And I tell him, I'm like, can you explain to her that she needs to get out of your face in a nicer way. Like, I know you're smart enough to do it, but the
Does
way
he say airspace, because that's hilarious.
I say that. No,
that's hilarious. If Dasha was like, get out of my airspace, man. He's like, this is where the control tower is.
What? Touching my feet with your feet. Like, it's the you idiot human who's annoying to be alive. Like, he's so, and I'm like, the way that you communicate things becomes a habit. So nip it in the butt. Stop now. Yeah. Don't talk to your sister that way, because it's going to be hard to break when you need her to lie for you when you're 16. Yeah. Learn now to be nicer.
Yeah. Like, oh, we have all those conversations. I'm like, you don't get to be nice to her when you want her to play with you, and then nicer when you have a different opportunity. That's not how this goes. And Eleanor, I tell her, I'm like, don't worry about him all the time. You worry about yourself. Yeah. You make yourself happy. There's too many men around here that get first dibs at being happy while the women just serve them. I'm not doing that.
Oh, you said that about Eleanor and Finn, and I notice it with Delight. Like, all she wants to do is, like, please him and make him happy and get him to play with her.
No.
And that's what I'm like, you're responsible for your happiness. This is way over your head. You're 4 years old. I'm working some shit out. Again, I was in counseling for a long time. I don't have the answers. I'm just like, if anything, I'm just trying to get them to communicate so that when they F up, and you will with the people you love, they see that you're not doing it to, like, hurt them. You're doing it to, like, protect them.
Right, or they can just in a moment go, like, hey, I really screwed up and I said this thing and I'm really sorry. Like, if they just can learn to feel bad and apologize. If I can teach my kids to apologize, then I'm basically like, I'm Yoda. Because I'll tell you something, that's something that I haven't experienced a lot of in my life, is the sincere apology.
From who?
From my mama. Mm-hmm. She does not. I believe that's a generational thing too.
It is.
And I'm not trying to shit on her. I'm saying, like when it came down to an apology, my dad would just say, I'm sorry, I really screwed up. And when my mom would apologize, she's like, I'm really sorry that you screwed up. That's how.
That is. I think that's a generational thing for sure, because I don't think I've ever heard my mom say that. But I do. If I get too hot with the kids, I'll say, I'm sorry I used that tone. I'm really frustrated. It's late in the day. I'm juggling this. I'm trying to make dinner. And I'm sorry that I talked to you that way. You didn't earn it. Whatever.
And then my son will go, I really want those Brawl Star coins. And then I go right back up into fever pitch. You're on your iPad now.
Yeah. You can make yourself be nice to me because you want the iPad. You can make yourself be nice to me kind of on command. So just like,
if you can make yourself be nice to me just because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Or as I like to tell him, you get a lot more bees with honey.
Yes.
So work it out. Like, I don't care if you got to fake it. Eventually, it will become like rote memory. I literally don't care. Like, put a note on your wall that's like, hug her twice a day. I won't see it coming. And all I think is, I got, and maybe that's not the way to teach affection, but it's better than not getting it.
Oh, I don't think it's a terrible way to teach affection, because I like have to remind myself and my husband. I'll be like, when I walk by, I'm going to rub his back, because all I've done is like complain all day long. And I need to like show him that I don't hate him. You know,
I can't do that. If I walk by and rub my husband's back, he thinks we're going to bang.
Oh, I'm positive that my husband thinks
so too. I can't deal with that. And then it's literally like whatever task he was doing that I probably made him do, he'll stop doing it. So I can't drive by, rub his back.
It's too distracting.
I'll say stay on finishing the picnic table. Once it's built, then I'll probably be into it.
Oh, but God, you have furniture to assemble. You better be rubbing him all over. That's a big deal to be able to put a picnic table together, Kristen.
I think he can make a really good picnic table. He's not doing that now. I'm gonna have him build a composter, and then work on some Adirondack chairs.
Oh, that's great. Yep, Kristen.
Those
aren't easy.
I know.
There's a lot of angles. You gotta.
I'll let him get on my angles once those tasks are completed. That's how it works. This conversation went.
Yeah, he's like, I think because my parents got divorced when I was so young, and more than it being this like my mom and then these two children, it was like this team sort of thing to get things rolling. Yeah. And I think I've always seen her as a peer, really, for most of my life. Like, Like, I remember having a boyfriend one time who got mad at me for how I talked to her, my mom, and was like, you're not being respectful to her. And I'm like, well, that's how we talk to each other. She doesn't do it to me either. Like, and I think that's why if she says something to me, I'm like, hold up, bitch. Yeah. I'm taking my earrings out and you and I are going to brawl stars. Like, because what? It's just a different dynamic. I'm not saying it's good. It should change.
I just run up to my room screaming and crying and shut the door and.
Yeah, that's a parent. That's parent-child relationship.
Wasn't in this family.
But yeah, I did. For sure. This was the thing that I was like, I'm going to tell you something that I don't know if I've ever talked to you about before. I'm making it sound really dramatic.
Is there one?
I don't know, but maybe. I'm sure I have, okay. And we both forgot it because we drank a lot. But from like age 9 to college, I was at my grandparents' house like most of the time. That like I have this very parent-child relationship with my grandparents, which
wow.
I understand why like your relationship, like your mom coming, that's worth everything. That's worth whatever you have to do to have your mom there, to have that relationship with your kids, because my grandparents would have taken every bullet in the world for me. Like we did have that like parent-child relationship because my mom was like going to school. She was like working full time. So I used to go over there for dinner, for breakfast. I used to take my dog there. Like I'd stay at their house like all the time. Like if
that's amazing. And she lived to be what, in her 90s?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And no, I know. And those relationships, like Finn thinks of my mom as his best friend. She's like, she's her best self. She doesn't do any other shit with them. She just, for some reason, she can turn off the critical filter and just be the best version of herself. And they love it. She nicknames them. She's playful. She's a great time. And I know that you had that really good relationship with your grandparents. So I know how important it is for her to have. I would never take that away. But she does have to. I mean, they have to respect our wishes as parents.
For sure. Right?
Do they just ignore us and say, we fucking know more
than
you?
You know what? I think that they do, because I remember being shocked so many times because I didn't notice it when I was growing up, because my grandparents, they knew like I could be a naughty kid, you know, like they're smart and they saw it all. Like they're old enough and like, but yeah. They just thought
there's nothing that you did that they didn't either do themselves or see your mom do.
My mom was a really good kid. So it was very different, but like my grandparents were kind of wild and I was kind of wild and it like skipped a generation. So they were like,
yeah.
I'm sure there were times where I was like, that one, she's going to end up in a Los Angeles doing coke in gangbangs and not having a good set of china. I know it.
But if your plateware is nice, Jen, that's all that matters.
That's fine. That's absolutely
fine. If you have nice dishes, you can gangbang and do all the coke you want. It's the presentation of the coke.
1,000%. It's generational. But they were so like forgiving and kind. But I do remember my mom pointing it out, and that I noticed it when I was an adult, that my grandmother would look at my mom and like, because my grandma used to do hair, she would like look at my mom and shake her head and be like, you look better blonde. Just like, no, like all teeth, like man. No filed off corners whatsoever. She would just like give it to her. She would just say like, because that's her daughter, you know, that's what.
Yeah. Moms and moms like do that. They cut the shit. My mom, I can't tell you the number of times that my mom would look at me and be like, so is this how you're wearing your hair now?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine. Is that I just wanted to know, is that like a thing? Or she'll go, Kristen, it's like you don't want to match. Do you know that your shirt is polka dotted and then you're wearing stripes on the? I'm just asking, is that a thing? Is that a thing? Or my favorite is when she's like, gosh, you can be so pretty when you want
to
be.
Oh.
We call it a Terry two-step. My husband and I call it a Terry two-step. It sounds like it ramps up into a really nice compliment and then it takes a sharp left turn.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and Terry two-steps, they're part of our lives and we're happy to have her.
She's trying though. She's trying to like do, I mean, because my grandmother did not do that. But I think because she and I are so similar, she would be like, I love your hair. I love what you like. When she was 80,
yeah, she'd ask to go get your the same clothes as
she would. She would send me. I would come over to her house like wearing something and she would go, will you get that in a size 10 for me? Like she'd send me back to the limited or whatever it was to get it for her. And never did that to my mom. Like she always it was always stuff with my mom like, maybe you have a gluten allergy. Maybe that's why you're so bloated all the time. Just like nothing, nothing really that nice. She's a super nice lady, but she was like, it was out of concern or love or affection that she would do it.
As moms, I think we get tired of the nice. I don't think nice comes into play when you've been, I mean, think about it. When by the time your kid is 30, you've seen all their maneuvers. So you're just cutting to the, you just cut to the quick. Like I'm certain I'm going to do that. And I hope that it's not as harsh as I've experienced in my own life, but sometimes you just got to say it.
Well, I
sometimes, yes, just got to say it.
My mom will do something like this, like besides buying me, she and I love to shop, which she and I and my grandma used to go shopping on Friday nights. And we're talking, I should have been at the bars doing shot skis, like, but I was like, nope, I'm going to go have like dinner for breakfast at like Denny's
that
with them
awesome.
And then we're gonna go to Kohl's and use all of our Kohl's bucks, and it was heaven. It was the best thing ever. But my mom would be
wishes
like
I would go shopping at Kohl's.
Oh god, it was a really good time. It wasn't always Kohl's, we'd mix it up a lot, maybe TJ Maxx, who knows. Ugh. But she would my mom would be like, I'm gonna, oh, this is a sweet thing I just remember that she did, like when I was in my 20s, and I'd be like, I'm going to get these like three little outfits or whatever, three little pieces. I'd get up there and she'd have already had them like pay for it, had it added in.
Oh,
and
how then I nice. Wouldn't, that's yeah. nice.
But she would get like a leather skirt and be like, I found this for you. I wouldn't wear it. I couldn't even get in it. And it sounds like she's going to give me this big compliment. She's like, it's a little slutty for me, but I think you'd like it. I think it's a skirt that would, it's right up your alley. And I'm like, okay, well, I just hey, hear man. The good stuff. I'm trying to just hear
yeah,
the good
you gotta,
stuff.
Yeah, you got to hear the good stuff. It's a little slutty for me. Well, that's weird because my dad bought my mom a leather skirt when I was in seventh grade. And I was like, I'm not okay with this at all.
See, that's you all. And my mom are more demure than me and my grandma.
Like, yeah.
But me and Terry, we will go out shopping for matching China sets in super trampy clothes. And love it.
And she would, that would be her happiest day. She'd be like, see, Jen, that's why I need a daughter like you, because you understand fashion and the necessities of plateware, or what do you call it? Glassware?
Glassware, china. Serveware.
Serveware, flatware.
I have a couple things that I am trying to do to keep my kids off of the iPads. One okay. is that I make the threat that if they can't find something to do, I'm going to buy them calligraphy pens and make them learn calligraphy. Because to me, that sounds like torture. I'm sure you would probably
yeah,
love
that,
it. But.
I would love it. I can see a kid not loving it, especially if they're still inverting their B's and D's. But hey, man, I think just the pens themselves is a great idea.
My daughter would go to kindergarten so like, messed up.
She'd be like, I could do it in a farmhouse modern script.
It's still a gothic 8. We just want a regular, readable, legible 8, Delilah. So,
can you do something that's not in Gaelic? I'm just wondering. Do you know? That would be amazing.
I know.
Home sweet home.
But Dash looked it up. He looked up what it was online. And he's like, I don't want to do
awesome.
That.
It's awesome. Calligraphy videos are awesome. They just make you really sleepy.
Yeah.
I just watch them. I don't do them.
Well, the other thing, I've been watching all these, because I want to do something constructive with my time. I wish I knitted. I wish I did cross stitch instead of like chewing my fingernails or like watching really.
I don't want to do anything constructive with my time. I would like to. I mean, it's hard during this pandemic. I just want to get through each day.
But what if you, while you were like watching TV, you sketched or something? Wouldn't you like that?
I could do that. That would make me a better person.
I think you would love that. That's what I'm saying is I want to find a thing I like to do because I love the like feeling of accomplishment that I get if I'm like making some gigantic decoupage paper mache thing. So I'm great. Saving all of my packing stuff, like all the boxes and stuff. And plus it would save me thousands of dollars in online shopping, I believe.
Well, then I'm going to just go ahead and hire you to find me spoons because I need to up my spoon game before Terry comes back into town again, which you know that's going to be soon. So I'll just hire you to be my personal shopper. That makes you happy. I can relax without any pressure or guilt. And then we're all, and then Terry comes in and she's like, oh my God, you're a good person because you have 40 different spoon options.
I do have some spin. I have a really great set of silverware for you if you want it.
I'm so soft focused on this. I'm going to like.
I know.
You're going to see me like.
I'm going to make it worse. Your eyes are going to roll back into your head because you can take packing stuff like popcorn peanuts and the wrap and stuff. And you put it all together and you make these sort of, what do you call it? Like rudimentary pumpkins that then you put paper mache over.
I literally just had a visual of turning the volume down.
I know. So
I'm just kidding.
I'm starting a sweatshop. I'm making my kids work at it. We're making all Halloween decorations.
This is the price of admission, you guys.
Yeah.
This is my price of admission.
That's right.
I focus up for this moment, but I give it to her.
Do you want to talk about ghosts right now?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I've got some new stories for you.
I've got a lot to say about that too, but I think we should wrap it up, Jen. Because
I think we should.
Our kids are running wild, and I know mine are on screens 100%. There's no way they're not.
Yeah.
So I should probably go out and suck the fun away, as we have described that moms like to do.
I got a guilt trip my kids.
Yep. Let me go give a compliment that sounds
like a judgment,
much like an insult.
Yeah.
Like, let me go work on that. Let me go put some plates together to show them what being a good person is.
Okay. Sounds like we got marching orders. Let's go do it.
I almost just said, I love you. Is that weird? I was like not looking at you. And I was like, okay, I got to go. Love you.
Love you. Cheers.
Love you too. Cheers.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.